Wait. Wait just a minute. If y'all don't mind. That's cool. Hang on. I want the kids to participate in this real quickly, if you guys don't mind. We had a great breakfast this morning. I really appreciate everyone coming out early and preparing, and it was awesome. And it's really to recognize the teachers and students and bus drivers and administration and everyone has anything to do with the mission field that we call in America this public school system, or any school systems for that matter. So I want to ask all teachers or anyone that has anything to do, students too, if you go to school, could you stand for us? Just stand up. If you have anything to do with the school system, or if you're a student, teachers, bus drivers, anybody like that, we just want to pray for you this morning. Is that okay? All right. So let's all pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for these students. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, Father, that you'll keep them safe, that you get them back and forth to school and without any harm or anything that happens to them. Keep them safe at school. Lord, I pray that they have open minds and teachable spirit, Lord, and that they'll be willing to learn and grow and become the men and women that you've called them to be in the future. Just bless them, Father, in Jesus' name, Lord. I pray for the teachers and the administrators and leaders and people who work in the cafeterias and clean and janitorial systems and bus drivers and everyone that's involved, Lord, that has anything to do with touching the lives of these precious children. Father, I just pray in Jesus' name, Lord, ask you to bless them, Lord, and bless their time during this school year. What a wonderful mission field it really is. Father, we just lift up these teachers. They're in these classrooms with these precious children every day, in and out. Lord, give them patience. Give them authority. Thank you, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Go. Children's Church. Yay. Man, I'm proud of the GAs, right? Let's get my hand. GAs. Yay. That's awesome. I love that. You know, recognizing the kids. And thank you, Marianne, for that. It's interesting because this week, just kind of zooming around on the Georgia Baptist Mission Board website and Southern Baptist, kind of just looking. I like to look around and cruise around. And some of you are familiar probably with the prayer calendar for the missionaries and the foreign missionaries and the North American missionaries. And I thought, wow, that'd be neat to kind of pray for a missionary, because they pick out one a week for the church to focus on. And I thought that would be kind of neat to maybe pick out each one, print it out, and have somebody read it, you know, and us really focus our prayer and energy on that missionary that the Southern Baptist Convention picks out to highlight for that week. And I was like, no, it's a busy Sunday morning, got a lot going on, and boom, you guys come down and do that. So maybe God wants us to start kind of highlighting that, so we'll pray some more about that. That's awesome. Well, I'm excited this morning for the message. You guys know, if you've been around for a little while, that we went through the little bit of the Sermon on the Mount, went through the Lord's Prayer. Remember we did that? And then we went through the Beatitudes, went through that. I enjoyed studying that, and I hope you got something out of it. Well, for the next few weeks, I'm not sure how long, but we're gonna get into another series of studies on Sunday morning. Now, a quick commercial for Sunday nights. We're going to go through the book of Acts. So if you're interested in coming on Sunday nights, please do. We're going to take the book of Acts and go through it one chapter and verse and at a time. We're going to really dissect and digest the book of Acts on Sunday night. And I also like to invite you guys to come to Sunday school. If you're not coming to Sunday school, I want to encourage you to do that. It's a great place to bond, to get closer to each other, and learn a little bit more about the Word of God. So definitely want to promote the Sunday school class in time. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for this time together. Lord, I pray for this word. Lord, you said your word would go forth and would not return void. It would accomplish what it was meant to accomplish in this world. And so, Lord, I just pray for this time that we have together. I ask you to help me teach this message that you give me. The folks will have open ears and open heart, and then we'll all learn and grow by what you have to say to us. We love you. I ask you to bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we're going to be in 1 Timothy for a little while. 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13 through 16. 1 Timothy 4, 13 through 16. Sometimes I'll switch around, or for most part, I'm using the New King James Version. Sometimes I'll bounce around a few other versions, but so 1 Timothy 4, 13 through 16. All right, let's read. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. The word says, meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. So take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Amen? All right, so if you noticed in your bulletin, I included a little study notes. And so for you guys who like to take notes and study and go along, please feel free. If you don't have one, there's some, Glenn might could grab somebody real quickly, but they're in the bulletin. If you need one, it's right outside in the little bulletin there. This is something, I was on vacation, so I had a little extra time, and I'm actually feeling a lot better, so I appreciate you guys being patient with me, and I'm feeling actually a lot better. So I was shooting basketball at work the other day, just... horse. I was playing horse. I wasn't really running up and down the field and down the court, you know. But I am feeling better, so this is something that I want to try to do. I might not be able to do this every time, but I love to study the Word, and so I'm assuming that some of you might too, so you can follow along as we go through the message. All right. So in 1 Timothy, it uses a word called exhortation. Now, let's look at that. So you know I like to get into the Greek. I'm not trying to impress you with that because I only really know what I just looked up for that one word. So I can't speak Greek or Hebrew. Paul might be able to, but not me. And I don't have no interest at all in learning it. So, but I do like to look up the word and see what the deeper meaning means. You know, I believe it gives us a little bit clearer understanding of what God's word is trying to tell us at that time. So exhortation means this in the Greek. It means an encouragement or a calling to come near. It's like a summons to keep close. In other words, the word's telling us here that it's encouraging us to keep the Word of God close to us. It's like calling us, like the Word of God is calling us. It summons us. We're being summoned to say, come near. Come near to me. You know, the Proverbs talks about the Word of God being a necklace around the neck and that. But this exhortation means, come here, keep it close to us. And what is it talking about? It's talking about doctrine. And that's what we're going to focus on for the next few weeks. I don't know how long, but when I say few weeks, it may be 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8, 9 and a half weeks. I don't know. We'll see. But we're going to focus on doctrine. Now, what does doctrine mean? Okay, you look up the Greek in that, and this is what it means. It means a teaching. It means instruction and petition. Now, perception. I love that word perception. Okay? It's like precept. It means precept. Okay, remember Precept Ministries, K. Arthur? Anybody familiar with that? Great ministry. So it means precept. Okay? Now, you look up that word in the Webster's definition of precept. Let me read it to you. It says, a general rule intended to regulate behavior and thought. Now think about that. I'm going to read it again. A general rule intended to regulate behavior and thought. So here the Bible's telling us to focus on doctrine. Focus on the doctrine and the Word of God, because it's going to help us regulate our behavior and how we think. I mean, I could preach a whole message just about that one thing. You know, the Bible says, take every thought captive in obedience to Christ. How do we do that? We do that through the Word of God, through studying, through learning the doctrine. And that's what we're going to start getting into. Now, in today's time, in the world today, the devil really has twisted the word doctrine. He's really twisted it up. He's done I hate to give him credit for anything, but he's twisted it up. Where that word doctrine almost has lost its true meaning. And if the truth be known, some of you probably thought, oh God, he's going to get into doctrine. I don't know. I can't read your minds, but you know, that's the way it is sometimes. Oh my Lord, we're going to be bored to death. We're going to be asleep. Especially after that big breakfast, right? Millions of people around the world feel the same way. They think that doctrine involves some misguided philosophical concept. That's what they think. That's what especially a lot of unbelievers, they think that. Well, this is what it's called. It's called false doctrine or lies. And I'm going to expose five of these lies this morning real quickly. We're not going to spend all the time on these five. You guys ready? These are five, I call them false doctrines. They're lies from the enemy. And here's number one. You got to remember now, we're talking about false doctrine here. These are lies. And we need to know as Christians. So it doesn't suck us in, you know. Here we go. The one false doctrine, the first one is that doctrine, here it says doctrine is the useless practice of arguing about silly things. Now, you'll find folks at your work, they love to do this. They love to argue about useless, meaningly seamless, crazy little things like what came first, the chicken or the egg. Well, if you study the Bible, the chicken came first, didn't it? You know, Genesis didn't say God made an egg. Anyway, I want to get into that. Other silly things that are out there in the world is how many angels can dance on the head of a pin. Have you ever heard that before? Silly stuff. This is one, and it's don't let it mess you up here. You ready? Here's what they'll say. Can God do anything? And we know that He can, you know? And this is one of those silly doctrinal philosophies that mean nothing. If that's true, then could God create a stone so heavy that He couldn't lift it? You know, there's no need to even go there, is there? There's no need to go there. But this is what the... Think about that one now for a minute, you know. It'll mess you up if you're not careful. But this is the things that the Word of God is telling us to stay away from. Stay away from these false doctrines, these silly arguments about things that no one has the answer. No one. Number two, false doctrine that we've got to be careful about. These lies, here it is. They say doctrine divides people, whereas love unites everyone, and all we need is love. I'm not going to sing it, Glenn. all this feel-good stuff. Everybody hear me? This feel-good stuff. All we need is love. Why can't we all get along? This is one of those false doctrines. If we're not careful, it can convince you. We have to be aware. Third false doctrine. It says, again, this is a lie now, that one cannot mix doctrine and soul winning. Oh no, when you're out there winning souls, don't talk about sin. Don't talk about repenting. Don't talk about blood and the blood of Jesus, that blood stuff. You know, that just freaks people out, you know. Don't talk about that stuff when you're soul winning. Guys, that's false doctrine. Y'all hear me? That's a lie. See, they don't, this false doctrine, don't believe that. Number four, false doctrine says that Bible doctrine is dull and impractical. It's dull and impractical. Let's don't rightly divide the Word of God. Let's teach something that's fluffy and feels good, and let's teach things that are more practical. You ever heard that kind of stuff? More practical. Let's gather folks into a Sunday school class and teach them how to balance a checkbook. That's all good, right? That's all good. But you can take that all the way to the other side over here, to the point where we're not even, you know, a whole church grows up and they don't know anything about Jesus. They don't know anything about the Bible, really, you know. Thank God we're teaching our kids about the Bible, the doctrines of the Bible. And we're going to definitely stay focused around Southern Baptist doctrine, the Baptist faith and message, and, you know, as we go through this series for sure. But I have to expose these false doctrines real quickly. I'm trying to hurry through this. Home of Jesus, I'm running out of time. Number five, doctrine, they say, this is false, doctrine is over the heads of most people. Most people wouldn't understand it. That is a lie. That is a lie. And these are crazy lies created by the devil. Don't believe them. These things are so far from the truth as is this removed from the truth as, say, the babe in Bethlehem to Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer. They're so far from the truth, guys. It's the doctrine. It's the doctrine of the Word of God that keeps us long-term. Talk about marriage in Sunday school this morning. Yeah. Save that one for another time. Allow me a few minutes, if you can. I'm going to go over a little bit I can see, but allow me a few minutes to speak truth into these five areas. Amen? So here we go. Number one, remember? Number one talked about the useless practices. Well, here it is. True biblical doctrine has nothing whatsoever to do with dancing angels or massive rocks or any other silly philosophical debates. The Word of God, as found in the Bible, refers to, listen closely, this is what doctrine really means. It refers to the simple, systematic gathering and presentation of the facts concerning the truth of God's Word. Simple. Everybody say simple. I love to keep things simple. Simple, systematic gathering and presenting of the facts concerning the truth of God's Word. That's what true doctrine really is. Okay, and number two, remember it talked about all we need is love. True doctrine really does indeed divide. There's somewhat true about that. It really does. Doctrine really does divide. You know what it divides? It divides light from darkness. It divides right from wrong. It divides life from death. And true doctrine, true sound biblical doctrine, also unites people. You see, man on earth cannot be saved without God's love and His mercy and grace, right? There's no other way. All right, number three, where it talks about doctrine being dull and impractical. You see, these two not only can be mixed, they must be mixed. They must be if God's commands are to be followed. They must be mixed. The greatest soul winner of time, the greatest theologian of all time, was Paul in the Bible. Paul would go house to house and city to city and cry and weep trying to get people to come to the knowledge of Christ Jesus. Study Acts 20 and 26. We'll do that later on Sunday nights. And Paul wrote 50% of the New Testament. Paul was full of doctrine. He wrote the book of Romans, which is considered to be the doctrinal book of Christians. Right? Number four. Talks about being dull and practical. I mixed that one up, sorry. You cannot mix doctrine and soul winning. Okay, doctrine is full of impractical. Says doctrine will create fire and a song in your hearts. It will. Luke 24:32 says this. They said to one another, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us on the road, and while he opened the scriptures to us?" In Ephesians 5:19, it says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. In Revelations 1:3, it says, blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. Okay. Now, let's go on to the false doctrine 5, where it talks about being over most people's heads. Okay, this is not true. And Christ, he contested this himself. He said in Matthew 11:25, he said, at that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent, and have revealed them to babes. See, even babes can understand this. Even little children can understand the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, let's take a look. Doctrine will help us. Here it is. Ready? Let's go through the five. It says, doctrine will help save us from theological food poisoning. Please be careful of what you read these days. Be careful of what you watch on television these days. Even on Christian television. And I'm not going to sit up here and tell you what to listen to or whom to listen to, but just be careful and pray and ask the Father to give you guidance about who you listen to and what you read. 1 Timothy 4:1 says, now the Spirit expressly says that in latter days some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. If you hear someone say that there's another way, that's doctrines of demons. If you hear someone say it's not about Jesus, it's about some other way, it's doctrines of demons. There's some crazy philosophies. There's some crazy religions out there. We have to be careful. 2 Timothy 4:1-4. Here it is. 2 Timothy 4:1-4 says, I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. He says, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside by fables. Do you know there are religious cults that are following King Arthur's principles, which they, you know, far as I know, it was not really a real person. And they gather weekly. And they focus on have good marriage and being men and taking care of their family. And they have all these honorable things. And it sounds really good. But it's fables. It's doctrines of demons. Number two. Doctrine will help us settle. Some folks need to settle. Some folks need to rest. Some folks need to decide, okay, I'm right here. Even in church membership, even in denominational type followings, we need to settle. Ephesians 4:14 says that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Doctrine will help us settle. Number three, doctrine will teach us about the details of God's eternal plan. We'll spend just a little bit of time right here because this is important. Doctrine will teach us about the details of God's eternal plan. So He doesn't want us to be ignorant. He wants us to be aware of where we come from and where we're at now and where we're going. Seriously. So I'm so glad we have the focus on the children. They need to know. Four or five little points here concerning the history of Israel. We need to know. We need to know why we need to support Israel. You'd be surprised at the Christians and churches that don't understand really why we need to pray for Israel and why we need to support Israel. 1 Corinthians 10:1 says, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea. He didn't want them to be unaware of what happened back then. He wants us to be concerned about the restoration of Israel. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 11, verse 25, he said this, for I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant. Using that word again, ignorant. You should not be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion. That blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles have come in. He's going to restore all that. Y'all know that, don't you? He's going to make His kingdom there. He wants us to be concerned about our own individual spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 12:11. Now concerning your spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. There it is again. He doesn't want us ignorant. He doesn't want you knowing or not knowing what your spiritual gifts are. He wants you to be aware of that. concerning the rapture of the church. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. And we're going to get into all this as we cruise along for the next, I don't know how many weeks. As the old singer says, I got a tired out of tail. I'm just following along here. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. It says this, but I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. Again, he doesn't want us to be ignorant about the rapture and the rapture of the church and what's going to happen. And the last one on that is concerning the destruction of the earth. So he doesn't want us to be ignorant about the beginning and the end. And all through that are these doctrines that we're going to dig into and we're going to study. 2 Peter 3:8-10 says this, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. And we're going to talk a little bit about that too. Now, number four, and what I call the truths of solid doctrine. Number four, doctrine helps us edify ourselves. Doctrine helps us edify ourselves. Now, I had to look up that word edify, so y'all bear with me for a minute. It's an old Latin word that used to be used for erecting a house, like building a house and erecting a house. It's interesting how God has brought that word into this doctrinal studies. Today, if you look up in Webster's, it means to build up morally with religious knowledge, to edify. So if I wanted to edify Adam, edification, encourage him, I wouldn't really say, Adam, you're the man, you can do it, I believe in you, all that's good. But if I really wanted to scripturally, through doctrines, through the Word of God, edify Adam, what would I do? I say, Adam, I believe in you, man, but more than anything is you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. Greater is He that is in you than He's in the world. If God be for you, who can be against you? Now, did y'all feel something different on that? Use your feeling knob. Come on, you're all right. I know you're Baptist, but did you feel something different about that? And your feelings? You had to have, unless your wood's wet again. Remember talking about that? But the reason that is, and I was sincere about that, but the reason is because I spoke what into Adam? Scripture, the Word of God, which is alive, that became rhema, became alive into him. And that's edification. And sometimes we're all alone, but the Bible says we're not alone, are we? That Jesus, the Holy Spirit, is with us. And sometimes we have a need to edify ourselves because maybe there's no one else around. And so good, solid doctrine is good for edification. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved upon God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of God. So, in good, solid doctrine, you should be able to encourage yourself. You should be able to speak the Word of God over yourself, over your wife, your husband, your children, right? Number five, and this is it. Doctrine helps us equip ourselves. Equip ourselves for what? For probably what I've been talking about since I've been here, and I'll be talking about it till I leave. Okay, we're all ministers of reconciliation. It's about the kingdom of God. It's about people being saved and baptized and brought into the fold, into the family. And then it's about them being, you know, raised up, as we say in the country, matured spiritually, you know, spiritual maturity and growing in the Lord, and then them going forth and working in the ministry and Sunday school, nursery, or Bible studies, or being a deacon, or whatever the calling of God is on your life. It's about multiplication. It's about Jesus, right? It's about the kingdom. 2 Timothy 3:13-17. This is the last scripture here. It says, "But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and be assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, for righteousness, that a man or woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." Amen. You guys ready for the journey? Amen. Well, let's close in the song of invitation. I remembered it, Gary. And I do pray, really, honestly, sincerely, every morning that folks who do not know Christ would get saved. I also know from experience there's really nothing about me or you or us. It's all about the Holy Spirit, about God calling and wooing us into salvation. And but we do want to honor this time. And Father, I just pray, Lord, that if there's one here today that does not know you, maybe there's someone here today that's been playing religious games for 5, 10, 20, 50 years. And they've never really come to a personal relationship with you. I don't know, but you know. If there is one, Lord, I ask that they would come down during the invitation and make a personal decision to surrender to Christ as their Savior. As a propitiation, Lord, as He takes our place, we don't have to be punished. Father, there's one here this morning that's never made that decision, no matter how young or old. That they would come down during the invitation and give their life to Christ. This is really what this is all about. Oh, we love you, Lord. We pray for Alan, Lord. Don't know if he's having a heart attack or what or what's going on, Lord, but we just lift him up, Lord. We ask that you bless them right now as they rush to the hospital. Lord, we pray for your will to be done there. In Jesus' name, Lord. Amen.